You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Light Show. My name is Dr. Kate DeVries, and I have the privilege of working in the Young Adult Ministry Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago with people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single, and I am delighted to be with you today. Also with me co-hosting is Father John Cusick from the Young Adult Ministry Office. Good morning, Father Cusick.
Good morning, Dr. Kate. How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you today?
Well, I'm good.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
And we have a couple special people with us today?
Yes, we do.
Why don't you share that secret?
Sure. Across the table from me is the director of the Kateri Center for Young Adult Ministry, located on the grounds of Dominican University, our friend who has been doing wonderful things for us, Elise Ainsworth. Good morning, Elise.
Good morning, Kate.
How are you?
Good morning, Father John.
Good morning.
I am well.
Excellent, excellent. And now to my right is Father Frank Jenks, who has also done wonderful, wonderful things for young adult ministry throughout the ages, throughout the years. Father Jenks, good morning.
Good morning, Kate.
Didn't mean to say ages there. I'm very conscious.
Well, it's that, appropriate.
No. I've been doing young adult ministry for just over 20 years, and oh my goodness, Father Jenks has been a part of that journey, and I'm very grateful.
Well, this show is being taped today.
Yes, it is.
And you are hearing it about a month after we have been sitting around this table here in the Archdiocesan Radio Center. And it's a special occasion, and that's why we chose to tape it and to run it when time permitted, because
today is Father Cusick and Father Jenks' anniversary of priesthood, the 39th anniversary of the day they were ordained. So happy anniversary to both of you.
Thank you.
Every year in May, there are all sorts of anniversaries of the priests throughout the Archdiocese.
Right. And we're just pleased. And this gives us a wonderful opportunity today, not so much to celebrate ourselves, our class, but this is we're going to use this hour, I think, Father Jenks to and Elise and Kate, to break open ministry in the church. It's hard to imagine. Some of you who are listening might be aware that the new pastoral center is in the old Quigley Preparatory Seminary, where Father Jenks and I began this journey, amazingly, 50 years ago last September.
Wow.
So we walked through the doors. right, Frank, of Quigley.
We certainly did
in September 1958, and here it is, late spring, almost early summer, 2009. So
wow. That's
a long time, and I can't help but think that you walk through these doors now that it has been a totally converted building from a high school seminary to this center for the Archdiocese of Chicago, that there are certainly memories.
There are definitely memories, but it was kind of shocking to walk in the front door and say, where am I?
Right, yeah. Because for those of you who might have gone to Quigley, we are sitting near the old swimming pool.
Probably underwater.
That's right.
And I've been looking for it, and I haven't found
right.
it yet. So,
Father Jenks and I have named the studio the Coach Stephen Jeswick Memorial Hall.
Fittingly so.
Right. So there those of you old-timers like us. But it's been a wonderful experience. And when we began here, Frank, and let's reminisce a little bit. We're allowed that privilege, I think, that the primary way and almost the exclusive way of working in the Catholic Church, now this was 1958, was your dream was to be a priest, a brother, or if you were a woman, a religious woman, professed. And those were really the three fundamental ministries of the church. I remember in the years I went to grade school, and I'm a graduate of Little Flower, and Frank, you're a graduate of?
Visitation.
How many lay teachers did you have even then?
There was one lay teacher whom I never had for class.
Yeah. Mm.
And that was in a school of almost 3,000 children.
Yeah. And so those who taught were, you figure that's 99.something% religious women. And I was sort of radical because I had a third grade Mrs. Hines and then sixth grade Mrs. Kavanaugh. And so, and I only went 7 years. They had to get me out in a hurry. But I had five religious women, and the only reason we had lay people is that they couldn't find a nun to staff that classroom.
That would be probably the case,
right.
Yeah.
And so today, here we sit, how many years later? We graduated from grade school 51 years ago and ordained 39 years ago. There's been, needless to say, an interesting shift in the population and in ministry and in working for the church.
Marked change.
Yeah. And two of the witnesses of that change are here.
Sitting right here.
That's right. Elise, and I know Elise has shared this with us, I think, on the radio before, but we want to get into that a little bit. Why would somebody today in this world of as it's been called, a culture of choice, make this choice to serve the church, the faith, and the Lord in ministry? And I remember pulling Kate out of a classroom, so to speak.
Yeah, I have a degree in special education. Right. I've been teaching for 5 years and loving it.
And knowing full well, and I think, Kate, what we'll also do is talk a little bit about what you heard me say many years ago, that your work is your vocation.
Absolutely.
And for me to sort of say, well, why don't you leave that and do this other work, I think threw a little bit of a wrench at you.
You did.
Because it has been. I mean, it's been our vocation, Frank, but it's been our work. We've been doing this since we were in our 20s. And after a while, you get good at it for no other reason. You've been around a long time.
So trial and error, a lot of error.
Yeah.
But you're right, Father Cusick, that sense of vocation is no longer, are you going to be a brother, a father, or a sister? That sense of vocation is, what are the gifts that you've been given, and how are you using them to build the kingdom of God, to
right.
make a difference in the world? No matter what you do, what is your vocation? What are you called to do? How are you called to share your gifts?
Right, and I think the wonderful thing in the Archdiocese, we have a wonderful vocations office, which continues to invite people to consider full-time ordained and professed ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have a wonderful lay ministry program, which tries to respond, and it does very well, to that call of the non-ordained to say, I too want to serve the Lord in the Catholic Church this
right.
way.
Right.
So we're going to explore that a little bit today. As Kate mentioned, this is Father Jenks and I. This is our 39th anniversary. The only thing, Frank, that I'm sort of fascinated with is when we were kids, somebody, anything 39, married 39 years, ordained 39 years, those were always old people.
Even alive 39 years.
Yeah, alive 39 years, sure. And now we still see ourselves as a couple of the young fathers, which belies our ability to go heavy into denial.
It's a great testimony to denial.
You're right. But it just is hard. You know, you hear that thing, folks, it's hard to imagine that all this time has gone by so quickly.
Certainly is.
But I think that on August 1st, Kate and I will be celebrating 21 years of working together in the Office of Young Adult Ministry, and that's a lifetime for a lot of people.
That's a lot of years.
A lot of years, yeah. And Kate has literally changed her vocational call to the point that she, 2 years ago, in the end of May, received her doctorate, a doctorate in ministry from the Catholic Theological Union, to sort of, I call it sanctify, in the best sense of the word, a call to ministry with a credential where she's Dr. Catherine F. DeVries.
Yes. Lots to celebrate in that. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. You know, and a lot for us to focus on today.
Yeah.
And so I suppose the question we just throw out to you for your own pondering, if you're driving around in your car or maybe listening at home, is what sense of give back, what sense of service to the Lord is a part of your own life right now, no matter your age, your background, you know, where you get your paycheck? And then we'll move into this after we take a break. Would that be fair?
That is fair.
Great.
Let's do it.
Thank you for listening. We are on Relevant Radio, and we will be right back.
Truth and the life.
Be with us, O Lord, we pray.
In your spirit, send us on the way to live your truth.
Send us out, O Lord, to live, that we might have life, everlasting life. You came to us, O Lord, so that all might have life, that one glorious life. Lord, send us to the world.
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Father Frank Jenks, Elise Ainsworth, and Kate DeVries. We are delighted to be with you this morning, and we are taking a look at ministry today. As we started out by mentioning that a lot of priests celebrate the anniversary of their ordination in May, so if there's anybody that you know at your parish, in your neighborhood, that you've connected with, any minister, whether it be a father, a brother, a sister, the director of your children's religious education program, anybody you know in ministry, it might be a good time to just say thank you so much for all of the work that you do.
I'm going to put a question that this is unprepared, and this is going to get Kate nervous because in 21 years of working with Kate, she likes a little bit of control. But this is a question, Frank, that I'm sure I still get asked, and if I do, you do. The question we've been asked for, 39 years of priesthood and prior to that is, why did you decide to be a priest? I want to put it out to all of us. Why did we decide to do church ministry? Now, the word church ministry, when we were ordained, was never asked because, as I mentioned, it was priesthood, be a brother, be a sister. But that's what it means. You know, what led to this decision? So, Frank, I'm going to throw that at you. And then I'm going to throw it at Elise, and then I'm going to throw it at Kate because Kate needs a few extra minutes
there you go.
to get organized.
I'm a high introvert, everybody, so yeah. I like to formulate my answers before spewing.
I know it. But, Frank, I'm sure you know that regardless if you're ordained 39 years as we are or 8 years or being in the seminary, why?
Well, to go all the way back to when I first began thinking about being a priest, I really have to credit my family with a great kind of example. Both my parents were school teachers.
Okay.
My dad's brother worked for the federal government. His wife was a nurse. My mother's siblings were a priest and a religious sister.
That's right, your uncle. And he taught in this building.
And he taught in this very building. Yeah. And so every adult I was in contact with was in some kind of service work to people.
Wow, that's right. Your parents?
My parents, my uncle, my aunt, everyone was. And so – and my brother was a social worker. He just retired recently. It's in our blood.
Yeah.
And there came a time when I had been exposed to many wonderful priests. I thought that the way to serve would be this way for me. That was back when, as you said earlier, you were a priest, a brother, or a sister if you wanted to serve.
Right.
And so that's kind of where it came from for me.
Okay.
And it was nurtured by people like you and others through the years.
Right, and we had a very supportive environment of people.
Oh, yes.
But your uncle, Father Frank Murphy, and mm-hmm. he taught here at Quigley, didn't he?
He taught here for 24 years.
Wow. Wow. And what did he teach?
He taught Greek and he taught Italian. He went into World War II as a Navy chaplain and was posted in Italy, and so he learned Italian.
Wow.
On his own. I don't know what kind of a book smart Italian speaker he was, but he
with the name Murphy.
But with the name Murphy and growing up in Chicago, yeah. But he taught Italian as well as Greek here yeah. for all those years.
So imbued in the Jenks family was the sense of service.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's
and
the big
you
thing.
Know, and I have a hunch. I know a lot of things have changed in the church and the culture, but in the work that Kate and I have been privileged to do for so many years, a sense of service and altruism is very high among younger people.
It still is, yes.
Yeah, and I think a lot of them would rule out church ministry too quickly. And we'll get into that a little bit because I think, you know, Elise is an example that of somebody who didn't rule that out. But Elise, what about you? When people say to you, you know, you're talented, you're educated, you got your undergraduate degree from Dominican University, you went on and got a graduate degree. Out of all the things you can be doing with your life, why would you choose at this time in your life to be a sharp, bright, attractive young woman and you're working full-time in ministry in the Catholic Church?
I'd say that choosing is only half of it. The way I understand vocation and call is that God dreams things up for us
okay.
and offers them to us. And we're free to say yes. We're free to say no. And if we say no, I think God dreams up something else.
Okay.
And offers that. I've been fortunate in that I feel like I've been led by the Holy Spirit in my life journey, I suppose. My involvement in youth ministry as a teenager led to feeling a call to maybe do that ministry. And that led to studying ministry in school.
Okay.
That led to an opportunity for graduate study in ministry, which at the time I didn't think I wanted to do at all. When checking in with my family and friends at that point in my life, they were extremely supportive and basically told me I couldn't turn down a chance for a scholarship to graduate school. And I went and did that, and that became kind of another family in my life. That whole I went to Aquinas Institute in St. Louis.
Okay.
And that community is another family in my life. Mm-hmm. I just went back this weekend for several of my classmates' ordination, one to the priesthood and three to the diaconate. And it's family. You
sure.
know, I go back every year. I realize now I've been out of school as long as I was in school, which mm-hmm. was a bit of a landmark for me as well.
Yeah, that's a shock.
I'm very aware that as is the case for many people my age, I will have several different career paths in my life.
Exactly.
The ones that I'm trained for at this point involve ministry, and I've already been a campus minister, a theology teacher, and now this new adventure of bringing young adults to the Catholic Church and helping the Catholic Church to be more open to young adults is the most exciting one I've had so far.
Sure.
And the one that best fits with my understanding of what on earth a layperson is doing with an MDiv in
right.
our church today.
Sure, church and culture today.
Yeah.
Like we said earlier, a culture of choice. And what's interesting, two things from what you said, and then we'll take a break. Number one, when you're saying that the people at the Aquinas Institute with whom you connected down in St. Louis, all I could think of is it sounded like our seminary experience, that you
very
had a group,
so.
Of, yeah, a group of people of like-minded dreams. They may not all have stayed in ministry. Most of the people we were ordained with never, I mean, went to school with, weren't priests. But we'll get back to that because that's a wonderful parallel today, and I really appreciate that insight. We'll take a break, Kate.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Catholic Charities is providing community health fairs with free medical services to residents of Chicago and the suburbs. Our next fair is scheduled for Saturday, May 30th at St. Anne's in Hazelcrest, 16801 Dixie Highway. The health fairs are open to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Local social service providers will be in attendance, offering a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to do a variety of tasks at the fairs, including helping to register participants and guide them from station to station. Please call 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. We hope you take advantage of our Catholic Charities Community Health Fairs.
Delighted to be with you, and we are the Catholic Church's outreach to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single. And we know that a lot of young adults are at work right now, but if you want to share with them who we are and what we do, we would be most grateful. Anybody can connect to our office through our website, which is yamchicago.org. That stands for Young Adult Ministry, yamchicago.org. Or you can call us directly at 312-466-9473. Again, 312-466-9473.
And if you live in the western suburbs or the
yes.
western part of Chicago,
yes, yes.
go on that website, YAM Chicago, www.yamchicago.org, and click on the Kateri Center,
mm-hmm.
Kateri, and that is, Elise, you came up with that name, and you named the center after whom?
Blessed Kateri Tekowitha. She is the, she's a blessed, not quite a saint just yet,
yeah.
but the first Native American person on that process, someone who lived to the ripe old age of 24.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, in order to be a young adult saint, you must die as a young adult.
yeah.
But in her life, she modeled devotion to her faith in spite of many obstacles, including the disapproval and harassment from her family, her tribe, and needing to move away from what was home for her in order to follow her faith.
Follow her faith and listen, as you said earlier, to the call of God. And so the Kateri Center is located in the in the offices or the on the campus, I should say, of Dominican University. And so, and then what you can do is you can leave your email address, and you'll be a part of, or you can leave someone else's email address if they're a young adult in their 20s or 30s. And about twice a month, we put together an e-letter, an electronic letter that goes out to people. And it'll keep them informed of a variety of things going on. Now, we particularly want people to begin becoming very aware of Theology on Tap that's coming up beginning in July, in less than a month from the time you hear this show. And all of that information, Kate, repeat our website
once
again.
It's all on the website, yamchicago.org. Again, yamchicago.org. And in addition to the Kateri Center, those living in the south suburbs can contact our other Lewis site director, Terry Shelley, Mr. Terry Shelley. And again, all of that information is on our website.
Right.
And they are starting. They now have a monthly young adult mass going on. They are hosting Theology on Tap in several different locations, both in English and in Spanish,
sure,
as we are throughout the Archdiocese. So many reasons to connect.
And Terry Shelley's area and where you're going to find Theology on Tap out there would be like Chicago Heights, Calumet City,
Flossmoor,
Lansing,
yes,
the area that we call the southeast part of the diocese, which goes all the way over to the Indiana line. Mm-hmm. And as Kate mentioned, we're so excited, and through Elisa's work too, that we've got a number of parishes that are in it for the very first time, and it's going to be offered in the Spanish language. To respect and respond to the wonderful cultures that they come from, all the way out from Melrose Park, St. Charles Borromeo, to St. Victor's in Calumet City, and a number of places. But all of that is on our website. But I want to get back, because as Father Jenks and I are celebrating 39 years of our ordination to the Catholic priesthood, when we're doing this show this morning, which is coming to you taped about a month later. And then in about 6 weeks from the time you hear this, Kate will be celebrating 21 years.
Wow. Father Cusick, has it been that long?
August 1st. Father Cusick has a good memory on certain things.
Wow.
And he has a trashed memory on other things, but we won't let Father Jenks comment on that. You know. But Kate,
not on the radio.
All the stories.
As Father Jenks and I are asked, you know, why did you choose to be a priest? And Elise is responded, you know, why would you choose to do this with your life? You have to have been asked and are asked. Kate, you know, you got all that talent. You've got a musical ability. You've got you've got a voice that comes from God. You've got a great ability.
I want to sing.
you've got a great ability not just as a teacher, but to teach very, very special needs kids. And you found a niche in that. And then all of a sudden, one day, I call you and say, Kate, I'd like to talk to you, and I asked you to consider working in the Office of Young Adult Ministry. And you took that to heart. It was not an easy journey for you to come to that decision, nor as I think it was an easy journey, Frank, for us over the years.
Oh, no, it wasn't, yeah.
We saw more people leave the seminary than
good
stay.
Friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we ordained 31 men on the 13th of May, 1970. And when we had a reunion a number of years later, there were 54 lawyers. So in many ways, we were a great pre-law school.
We certainly were.
But the amazing thing is, and it's like what Elise was alluding to at her time in St. Louis, so many of the people we went to school with have stayed in the service professions to do something. But Kate, when people have asked you, Kate DeVries, with all the gifts and talents you've got, why in the name of God for 21 years have you been doing this church thing?
Wow. Well, let me go back. And, John, you're absolutely right. It was by your invitation. I grew up all my life. I knew I wanted to serve. I knew I wanted to help people. That was my thing as a child. I wanted to help people. And it took me a while to figure out how best to do that. I did go to Catholic schools. And we did have one day, I think I was in like fourth grade, when we all went to some talk that some sister gave about the importance of becoming a sister, which didn't make a whole lot of sense to me then. But that was my only sense of, would you want to enter into religious life. But as I was growing up, I was on a path of science and mathematics. And as I was just starting in the middle of my second year of college, all of my friends who were teachers I started to get jealous of. It's like, wait, I wanted to teach. But I did the calculus, you know, differential equations. I did all this heavy math stuff and the heavy science stuff. And it was all fine, but it wasn't feeding me. And so I switched gears, changed majors, as so many people do, did the teaching thing, had a wonderful experience at Northern Illinois University where I got my degree in special education. Then from there went on to teach for 5 years. I've taught high school level primarily. Then I dropped down a little bit to junior high when we had a little bit of a shakeup in the school district that I was in. I was asked to take over for a teacher in crisis. So I loved it. At the same time, after coming back from Northern, I met Father Cusick. I started working in young adult ministry as a volunteer. I started attending Theology on Tap talks. I was invited to share my gifts as a leader through Theology on Tap and coordinating it at my parish, Sacred Heart in Palos Hills. So I did that for several years. And then Father Cusick said, well, Kate, you know, why don't you think about doing ministry? And It really did shake my world, because he taught me that sharing the gifts of your life is all that God would ever ask. You know, figure out what you're good at. Mm-hmm. And I was making a difference. You know, how do you use your gifts to make a difference? Every single day in the classroom, I was with children in crisis. And I always said a prayer going into the school. And then I said a prayer in the back of my mind really quickly when a child was, you know, really in a bad situation and I needed to confront the child or walk through some difficult situation. God was with me every step of the way. But then Father Cusick said, think about taking a leave of absence, just a bit of a break, and doing ministry. Mm-hmm. So the pros and cons of leaving the classroom to work with my peers, to do ministry actually for the church. I was invited to help in the young adult ministry office, not knowing what the job entailed, not having a sense of what doing ministry full-time would look like or feel like. Elise, I'm sure you had that feeling. Sure, I'll direct a RUA site. I don't know what that means. But you take that leap of faith. So, sure. You know, it was a gut-wrenching decision. I love teaching. I love being with children. I love making a difference. Now I'm using all of those gifts that I learned as a teacher to do other things through adult faith formation and by working in the church, by gathering young adults to serve, by teaching young adults more about our tradition. I'm using so many of those gifts. So it was by direct personal invitation. It was just a whole different way of sharing my gifts. And I learned that we don't just have one vocation. You can have two or three or four. God chooses happiness for us. Right. It's up to us to move.
So the question is, do something with your life.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
We'll
share
be right.
Your gifts.
We'll be back.
Yes.
And we're going to keep focusing a little bit on ministry, priesthood, service to the church with Elise Ainsworth, Kate DeVries, who I affectionately call my boss, and my classmate and friend, Father Frank Jenks. This is Father John Cusick. We'll be right back.
Lord Jesus, you reign in glory with God the Father.
Be with us, O Lord, we pray.
With the Holy Spirit, you are God.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a personal invitation to join my internet-based network. Beginning in Holy Week, it will be my pleasure to send you short reflections to help you on your spiritual journey. You can sign up by going to our website at www.archchicago.org. All we need is your email address. That's www.archchicago.org. Thanks for joining the Cardinals Network as we use the internet to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to The Light Show. We are delighted that you chose to be with us this morning.
Yeah, we've been focusing this morning, we began a little bit selfishly, that Father Jenks and I are celebrating 39 years this day of ordination to the priesthood here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And when we began this morning, we were really saying, Frank, that this was the only path open in those days.
It was, yes.
And it was a wonderful path. And we had great heroes and role models. You mentioned your aunt and your uncle, inside of your family system. I didn't have that in my family, but I had great priest heroes at Little Flower, where I graduated from grade school. And one of those priests is one of the oldest living priests in our diocese now. And I had the privilege of saying to him about 4 years ago, I said, Father, I hope you understand you're the reason I went to Quigley. Because it was that sense.
It's like, wonderful to tell him that.
Right. Yeah. And it's that sense like Kate was saying. I was invited into this, and mm-hmm. I don't think he ever said to me, John, you go to Quigley, but he made it so clear by who he was that this was something I looked up to and that where you could make a difference with your life. And, you know, you're a young kid. We all want to make a difference with our life, and I think that's that sense of altruism that you talked about.
That's correct. It's wanting to do something for a greater good. Wanting to give your life to something that means something.
Exactly. You know, and we would hope that before we go off the air today, I'd like to roll out, Kate, some possibilities for young adults, what they can do with their lives. They're not going to get a full-time job in church work because they want to stay in what I would call their social career. They're not going to do what Kate has done.
Some might.
Some
might.
No, some might.
I talk to people.
But yeah. I'd like to offer some people today. And you can pass it on to your own children who are young adults or grandchildren. You know, I think it's that call that Elise is talking about. Do something. You know, make a difference in the world. That is so paramount to us. But let me ask Father Jenks, Kate, and Elise another question. I'm into questions today.
Yes, you are. Oh, my.
You know, and that is in the short amount, Elise, or the long amount, Kate and Father Jenks, you've been doing this. What stands out in your mind as something significant in which you've been involved, something about what you've done that either affirms your decision to be who you are or just opened up, lights went off when you saw things in which you were involved or saw things through your ministry that maybe were going on with other people or whatever. But Frank, what do you think? After all these years?
Well, certainly a significant moment in my early life was being exposed in Panama to Father Leo Mann and the team down there in terms of what ministering to people could be.
Wow. Okay.
And maybe because of my experience there, which is very short, of seeing people who were called to ministry and how they were nurtured in that through small groups and through retreats. One of the real powerful experiences in my life was it took me 3 assignments to do it, but with a bunch of wonderful people, I was the only priest in the group, designing a formation program based on a retreat for the people in the parish,
wow.
Which is still going on today.
Wow. Okay. So you became your own sort of mini seminary.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I found at that time that, yourself excluded, of course, many of my greatest friends were the people who were not ordained with whom I worked and lived all
right.
those years.
Right. And they had that sense of faith in their own daily lives, raising their children, sharing the love and family.
And they continue to call me to be something greater than I thought I could be.
Yeah. That's great. Kate, what about you? I mean, you've made I'm not telling any tales out of school. I've said publicly, and I've been privileged to do some public speaking around our country, that I'm privileged to work with somebody who I think exemplifies some of the what I call the very best of church ministry of a woman in the church today. And it has been an enormous personal pride for me outside of professional to say that Kate is my colleague. And when I tease at the break saying that I affectionately call Kate my boss, I mean, the woman is a competent church professional and has a sense of personal faith, which is second to none. So,
well, thank you. Oh, my. I love the sense of approaching a group of people, whether for prayer or giving a talk or, you know, when we gather at a conference, a wonderful event. The Catholic Festival of Faith is coming up in a few months. And, you know, to have 1,000 young adults right there just together in prayer and in worship and in workshops and really just sharing our faith, that's incredibly exciting and uplifting for me. But I also truly embrace the one-on-one time with young adults. When somebody comes up and says, you know, you suggested I go to Mass, I went, and it was life-giving. You invited me onto the retreat, or you invited me to be a volunteer for Theology on Tap, and really I met some great people, and it was so enriching. So that sense of making a difference, we've shared before. One young adult, when we were creating a small faith group experience, just terrified. She was in the city by herself. She knew no one. She expressed that she hadn't been hugged in 6 months since she left her parents' home. And with tears in her eyes, she shared with the group, I'm just looking for somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
And at the end of that meeting, everybody embraced her, and she became a wonderful, wonderful member of that small faith experience and moved on to do other great things. But knowing that what you're doing, not right away, but planting seeds,
right,
it all makes a difference.
Yeah.
It all makes
and
a difference.
And the interesting thing, the payoff in church ministry is not immediate.
Right.
It's not instant gratification in a world that says, let me see results immediately.
Yeah.
This is the long haul. This is sowing the seed and seeing where it lands.
And you never know how many lives you're going to touch.
Great.
Through preaching or through teaching or through service work. You're touching people you don't even know you're touching.
We're going to be back, and we're talking about church ministry, and Father Jenks and I are celebrating 39 years of ordination to the priesthood today, and thank you for listening, and we'll be back after a break.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
Show, Father John Cusick, Frank Jenks, Elise Ainsworth, and Kate DeVries talking about ministry today.
Elise, you've been in this the least amount of time here. If someone were to approach you in your job as the young adult minister at the Rua Center in the western suburbs, and you're Oak Park, River Forest, Melrose Park, up to LaGrange a little bit, Cicero, Berwyn. That's a huge area. And they said, Elise, I'm not sure what I want to do with the rest of my life, but I'd like to dabble a little bit in some sense of giving back. I like my job. I like my career. In these economic times, even if I don't have the best job, I'm getting paid, and it pays my rent. What would you suggest to people? Can you give them any ideas on how they could dabble a little bit in this giving back, perhaps and certainly through the church, at this dream of we all have of building a better world?
Well, the thing that's been bouncing around in my head since you first posed this question is the idea that I know I've heard you talk about, Father John, where you never turn down an opportunity.
Right.
And more popularly, those of you who haven't heard Father John talk about it, the movie Yes Man, pretty recent movie, is about a guy who says no to everything and then is challenged to say yes to everything. And it opens up amazing possibilities in his life.
Wow.
Of course, it's Jim Carrey and they take it a little too far and just get silly with it. But the principle is sound. I have found that the most amazing and exciting adventures in my life have started when I have accepted an opportunity. And often I'm so excited about the opportunity that I haven't stopped to think about the challenges until my mother's driving me to the airport where I'm flying to somewhere I've never been by myself, meeting someone I've never met to do something I've never done. And my mom says to me, you know, you're pretty brave. And I say, brave? What are you talking about? Because I haven't thought about it in
right,
that.
Right.
You know, I'm just excited about the opportunity. And I'd say that that is a perfect way to get started, that to find the open opportunity, the challenge, the new thing to explore in your life and give it a shot.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Accept before you judge.
Exactly. And just don't turn down an opportunity. Some of the things that are out there, I've always told people, particularly if you want to tell your young adult children or grandchildren, call Catholic Charities and ask to be put in touch with the junior board. These are people in their 20s and 30s, and they come together in order to serve the many different aspects to do something with their life. And it's risky because, like you say, you got to follow your heart, and sometimes what holds us back is, well, I don't know if I got the skills to do that. Try it.
The junior board has a lot of fun, too.
There you go. Yeah. Well, and you know, and we don't talk about
fun is important.
We don't talk about this enough, but if ministry is not fun, then stop doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
This is about joy. This is about giving back. This is about we are alive, Frank, in doing this.
It certainly is. You know? If the old saying goes, if it's not making you happy, you're doing it wrong or you found the wrong thing.
Every once in a while, I'll run into a priest who's complaining about doing weddings. I ran into a priest one day years ago at a cemetery complaining about how many funerals he has. Hey, this is what we do.
He should be happy it's not his funeral.
Exactly. You know, but we bury the dead. We celebrate love in a public ceremony of marriage. We counsel people. If you don't like it, well, then don't take your negativity out on somebody else. This is the joy of the Lord. I cannot imagine Jesus being a sour-faced do-gooder. I mean, he gave his life for others to the point of death.
That's correct. And,
right.
And all I can say to people who have experienced a priest who has kind of turned them off because of the negativity, you probably don't know what his own personal struggles are and all that,
right.
But it doesn't help.
Right.
When you are the recipient of poor service because someone is out of whack internally.
I always admire. I've gotten in our work, particularly the work Kate, you and I do with young adults, we run into some fascinating human beings. We all run into fascinating people. But every once in a while, you see people who have risen to what I would call public notoriety in a short amount of time. And there's one person that I've known for years, and I was privileged to do his wedding, and he would be on news conferences all the time. And the thing that people did not know about him, and still don't because it's none of their business, is that he helped found a program that mentored very poor, neglected grade school kids. He did this after graduating from a prestigious law school because he knew a part of himself had to be giving back. And you see him and you see all the things that he's done and the titles he has. But what I see is someone who has done nothing different than the four of us around this table. Find what part of your life you want to give back. And at this stage, the four of us are giving most of our life back. But some people are going to give an hour a week. Right. Some people are going to make it a job. Some people are going to do it occasionally. Maybe what we're here to say today is take the risk.
Well, and I think that no matter what you do, there's a quote that I have on my desk that says, work is love made visible. And I'm not a big fan of litmus tests, but for me, that if it's not coming from that place, then there's something wrong.
Right.
If whatever it is you do for your work, it should come from the love that you share for the world.
That has to come from inside of you, too. It's not something that can be legislated from above.
Exactly.
Right. And we are going to take our final break right now. Thank you so much for listening to us on Relevant Radio, AM 950. We'll be right back.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page. Your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, enjoy our Finding Grace series, The Seven Deadly Sins and Their Heavenly Virtues.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
May is the month of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and Cardinal George has some helpful suggestions for how we can express our devotion. And Pope Benedict declares the year of the priest and travels to countries of the Middle East. We'll talk to Cardinal George about these stories and more in this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Show with Elise Ainsworth, Father Frank Jenks, Father John Cusick, and Dr. Kate DeVries. We are delighted to have been with you for the past 50 minutes or so. Father Jenks, why don't we ask Father Cusick a question? He's been asking all of us.
It's a very good idea.
You mean I can't hide behind the microphone?
What do we want to know?
Not anymore. I would like to ask you the following question. We are the same age, although you're a little bit younger than I am.
Always will be.
Always will be. That's only because I was born first.
That's right. I'm your
paving
younger,
the way.
You are no longer a young adult. I know how old you are. What keeps you energized and so generative in working with young adults when, in many respects, you're old enough to be their grandfather? Sorry about that.
I am. Ooh. That's the frightening thing. I find nothing more life-giving than working with young adult people who have a spiritual hunger, and they're trying to figure out how this religious tradition called Catholic, how it works for them. And once they begin to see how it works for them, what place they have in the church. That is, I am most alive when I am face to face, eyeball to eyeball with people, and particularly young adult people. And we see them in a variety of ways. We see them at, obviously, at the weddings we do, the funerals of their parents and grandparents. There's just a number of ways over and above. But the other thing that, Frank, is sort of been my passion, and it's been my passion more in the last 5 to 10 years, and that is I do not want the church, its parishes or its organizations, to neglect this very talented and gifted group of people. I'll go on radio right now and say, we walk out on Sunday in most parishes and say, the Lord be with you. And there's fewer of us than ever before. We look older than we ever did before. And when we were kids, we reminisced about being back at Quigley. Look how old your parents were when they were active members of visitation. They were young adults. We never used that. And I just want the church not to give up on this generation, not to say they don't know their faith. I want the church to embrace them. I want them invited into the active participation of our parishes and allow them to take these gifts that Elise is talking about. She's one of them. And say, make room for me. And so it's a two-edged sword, you know.
Thank you for that response. As you were responding, I couldn't help thinking when we were newly ordained, the people who were involved in our parishes were all in their 30s.
Oh, yes.
Late 20s and 30s.
Yeah, you fail to realize that.
And they were running everything.
Right, right.
And making us responsible for our positions.
You know, and the funny thing, when I got involved in young adult ministry, it was the same time I got involved in vocation ministry when I was assigned to the faculty of the seminary. And as I would talk to young men about the priesthood, in many ways it was no different than beginning to talk to young adults about the church. I was calling one group to a select lifestyle. Consider ministry in the Catholic Church. And to another, I was saying, please consider your presence and your call in the church. So that's what opened me up to understand there's one Spirit, different gifts, different ways to live life, and this is how I've chose to do it.
And different ways to serve, including if you just, you know, go at Mass and decide to be an usher or a greeter or a Eucharistic minister.
Right.
There are so many ways to serve.
Just find the opportunity that fits you.
Exactly. And as Elise has said, don't say no to an opportunity. Take the risk. Follow the Spirit of God. Check into our website,
YAMChicago.org. And if I could just briefly do a couple more things. Mark your calendars, everyone. Theology on Tap begins July 12th at 40 different locations throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. We would love for you to be a part of it. If you have some gifts and a little bit of time and want to meet some great people while making the whole program happen, you can connect with our office. Again, YAMChicago.org. We will put you to work and introduce you to some great things. Another date to keep in mind is on August 9th. Cardinal George is inviting all young adults to come together for Mass and then a picnic. So we certainly want all young adults to be part of that. And lastly, the Catholic Festival of Faith is coming.
Yes.
We will have all sorts of information about that on our website. More information will be sent out through parishes. But put the dates down, October 16th and 17th. The 17th is a Saturday. It's the day when we are having a special track for people in their 20s and 30s. We are going to have in the spotlight all sorts of a high-tech presentation. We'll have workshops for young adults. We'll be sharing ministerial opportunities, more ways to get involved. We will let you know about young adult groups happening around the Archdiocese. We will have Mass, dinner, and a party together. It's going to be
great.
Fabulous.
And thank you all for being with us this morning. On behalf of my boss, Dr. Kate DeVries, my classmate and dear friend, Father Frank Jenks, and our colleague in ministry, Elise Ainsworth, thanks for listening. Be at peace, and we'll connect with you in July.
Amen.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.